Amen. All right, let's break into our two different classrooms. And those who are in this English class, let's all squeeze over here if we can. Only sit over there if you can't get over here, okay? No, please don't. Yeah, please don't. No, in the front, because we move around a little bit. There's not much room to walk. First of all, let me ask, does everybody have the lesson? A book or the lesson? Or both? Combo? Anyone still needs the lesson? Sister Lynette will kindly, she'll be kind enough, I'm sure, to give it to you, give you one. All right. Well, I tell you, I'm very excited to be here for lesson number two on our series, Building on the Rock. And as you can see, the theme is going to be personal conduct. Personal conduct. And again, for those who were not here last week, let me very quickly tell you, we're running this seminar series a little bit differently than we normally run Sunday school or our classes. And what I mean by that is we have so much material that we want to get through that we've actually extended Sunday school to a full hour. And even with that, it's jammed. So we want to make sure that the material that we teach every week, we get through it all. So what we're doing now is have a presentation, then a short break for questions, a second presentation, and then a second period for questions. But we don't want the presenters for all 10 weeks to be interrupted until they're done presenting the material. And the material, of course, you have in written form, so you have it with you. So focus on the speakers. You have it there in writing. Please take notes. You have notes. And then when we get to the question period, since we only have limited time, we want to hear your questions, but we only have like 10 minutes and then 5 minutes later. We need you to ask questions and not make comments at this point, okay? If there are further questions or comments, we're happy to hear them after class. But to try to make sure we get through all of it, please, if you raise your hand during the question section, make it a question and not just your personal views or how you feel about it, because we don't have time for those things. We want to answer the basic questions that people have, all right? So what's going to happen today, in a moment I'm going to hand off to Brother Jeremy, and then he's going to teach you for about 20 minutes. But my job is, again, go through the rules and then tell you what the topic is. We are going to talk about personal conduct, which means last week was about Jesus Christ. We talked about the importance of our Lord and how Jesus Christ should change everything in our lives. We want to be like Jesus. And this week is really about trying to be like Jesus. Okay? Taking the example of Jesus Christ, and it should be reflected in your life. Reflected in your life. And what we're going to talk about all today is, are you a Christian? Are you a saint? And let me tell you, from my perspective, those terms, they're interchangeable. I don't mean anything more or less by one or the other one. They're both about, are you serving Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you doing the best you can to be an example to this world? All right? So, great topic, important topic, and we're going to talk about our lives. Do they look like the lives of Jesus? Do we act like Jesus Christ? Are we doing what he wants from us? And with that, I'm going to hand off the class to Brother Jeremy, and then he'll teach again for 20 minutes or so, and then there'll be 10 minutes for questions, and then I'm up for the second part of it.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy.
Yeah, got more.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's very nice to see you all today. We have a nice-sized group. Okay, so I'm very excited about our topic, and we have titled it Personal Conduct. That might mean different things to different people, but as followers of Jesus Christ, I think another way we could put it is godly conduct. So is our conduct the way that Jesus Christ lived? And so we want to be sure that we're living the way that Christ modeled for us. When he walked the earth, part of the reason he came here in the flesh is that he might set an example for us and how that we might live. And we need to be sure that we pattern our lives after that. And so we want to behave in a way that is aligned with the identity of a Christian. One of the greatest ways to do that, most simply put, is to follow the commandments of God. And so, in John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so here, Christ is telling us that when we follow his commandments, we are conveying love to him. And we're showing him that our hearts are sincere. I kind of want to provide a little disclaimer before we get too much further here, because in a way this is a tricky subject to try and teach, because it's hard not to sound like you're harping on what you should do and how you should live your life. And I just want to be clear that this is not about the church or me trying to tell you what to do or how to live your life. If it was just that, I would have to kind of tell you, do as I say and not as I do, right? Because I myself am trying to strive towards these things and perfect myself and be more like Christ as well. But it is about following Christ. And as we spend time in the Word, we understand very clearly that there are some things that are pleasing to God and things that are not pleasing to God. And so we need to understand those things and make an effort to follow them. So I talked about the commandments of God, and all of those commandments, which there are many, are kind of swallowed up in one single command that we love. And so loving God above all and loving your neighbor as yourself is the pinnacle of all commandments. And everything else that the Word says is in support of that. And so we can't possibly get a sufficiently deep understanding of love without understanding these other commandments. And they'll improve our ability to love. And so that's a great place to start, that we might love God and love our neighbor. And when we do that, we, again, express honor to God. This represents a change in our behavior. Because before we really made an effort to come to Christ, we had our own agenda. And naturally speaking, for human beings, that's a selfish one, right? But when we convert to Jesus Christ, convert kind of suggests change, we have a great change that begins to come over us, and a great change in our hearts, and a change is reflected in the way that we act now in our lives. We find in Mosiah 5, 1, it says, I'm just going to read two verses for you here, 1 and 2. "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them." He had just given a tremendous address to a tremendous crowd, expounding before them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now it says that he sent among them to see if they received the message. And did they believe it? Did they accept it? And in the verse Next it says, and they all cried with one voice, saying, yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also, we know of a surety of their truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent. When you hear the commandments of God and you feel the Spirit behind them, it's a confirmation that, yes, this is truth and it is the will of God. And it goes on to say, this has wrought a mighty change in us, changing you from the old man to the new creature in Christ. And that change should be evident in your behavior. And listen to this as it breaks down that change even more. It says, our new hearts no more have disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. Once again, this is a great summary of how we should act, to do good and to love. And this goes very well along with the scriptures in Colossians that talk about that new man that I referred to. And we can't take upon ourselves the new man if we don't put off the old man first, right? If you're going to just take the old life into your Christian walk with you, then that change is negated. It's not really there. And it holds you back in your service to Jesus Christ, and it holds you back in your blessings if you're not willing to go through this change and let it be manifested in you in the way that you live. And so, not only will this bring you closer to God and bless your spiritual lives, but it also turns out that the commandments of God are good for you because they're deeply rooted in truth. Truth and principles that will guide your life in a way that is productive, that is successful, that is orderly. And I'm not preaching about any sort of like financial gain here. I'm preaching about life gain. In every part of your life, it will be blessed if you trust in the Lord and do the things that He has commanded you to do. It will set your life up in such a way that you can be successful and that you will stay out of trouble. Because as much as it's true that when we do the things God wants us to do, it's blessing for us, both naturally and spiritually, it's also true that when we don't do the things God says not to do, it keeps us out of trouble. And all of the trouble and calamity us human beings, as fairly self-destructive creatures, can cause if we don't have guidance in our lives, if we don't have some sort of code. And so I'm going to get into the second point a little bit here in just a moment. What is that code, and what are the things that specifically God is asking? What are the do's and don'ts of being a Christian, right? Well, first off, let me give you some do's. And I've already given you a couple. Love and truth, you know, these are good things to embrace, but I'll start with one other really big one, and that is to read the Word of God. Because you can't keep the commandments if you don't know the commandments. And until you open the Word of God and begin to spend time in it, you might be surprised when you get in there. Oh, God doesn't like this, and I'm doing this. And again, it brings us back to that change I'm talking about. And so as we read the Word of God and it enlightens our minds, it brings about opportunity to repent and change the way that we're living. So simply by reading the Word and the commandments of God and learning about them, you're already starting to keep them, right? Because it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here God is saying to us through the words in Timothy that we need to study the Word of God, and that we need to divide it Break that word apart into little bite-sized pieces until you understand it. And that takes some effort. And you have to, you know, really meditate upon those things and kind of deconstruct them a little bit until they make sense for you. Reading it over and over again sometimes. And when you do, here are some of the things that you're going to find. We need to love people. We need to pray. We need to be patient. Oh, we can just throw so much of our lives away if we're not patient. You know, in a moment we can be angry and say something or walk away from something good. And what a loss, what a tragedy, because we didn't give a little tolerance and patience to someone around us. And I would love to go deeper into each one of these, but I can't today. But at a high level, we need to have temperance, which is self-control. We need to learn about kindness. The word actually says, be kind. Forgiveness. Because if we can't forgive each other, and even forgive ourselves sometimes, God's going to withhold His forgiveness. And so that's extremely important. It says in the Word we need to have humility. We need to live in the truth. What does that mean? Well, don't lie, right? Speak the truth. What blessings come? I can't tell you. When you start doing these things in your life and you start to speak truth all day long to everyone, it doesn't mean you open up maybe and say all that's in your heart all the time, but you don't lie. You're upfront and forthright with people. The Word actually commands you to have hope. And hope is joined with faith. It also asks you to endure. Endure in your faith to the end. And don't think of that as a bad thing, brothers and sisters and friends and guests today, because when you endure in Christ, it just gets better and better. It doesn't get harder and harder if you're doing it right. It gets better and better as you endure to the day that you actually walk into the kingdom of God and rest forever in bliss and salvation. The Word asks us to believe. We have to work on ourselves a bit and believe. Now, you know, why are these things important? Well, without striving these things to do these things, we can't really say that we're serving God. We're not being very genuine if we say, I'm a Christian and I wear the label, but my lifestyle really has very little to do with following the things that God's asked me to do. And, you know, sin can manifest itself in so many ways, in countless ways, in our lives, the way that we live them. It says in Mosiah 4:29, and finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves, and your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds, and observe the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives. There's that endurance again. Then ye must perish. And O man, now remember and perish not. You know, the deeper we get into these things, doesn't it make you feel like just keeping the Lord in the forefront of your mind, always drawing closer to Him? Because it's so blessed to live that way. And in Moroni 10:32, it says, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. That's part of what this is. Everyone here today, that when you behave in a way that's godly, that you strive to have godly conduct in your lives, that you're drawing yourself closer to the Lord and becoming perfected. That's the offering and the blessing that God gives to you, What a treasure. And it says, deny yourselves of all ungodliness. I'm continuing now in this verse, Moroni 10:32. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength. Then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And I'll tell you, that's true. Because if we do the right things in our life, it says that the Lord will immediately bless us. And we see that his power is manifested in our lives. Because when you do what he asks, he proves himself to you. And he blesses you in return. And you begin to see, wow, the promise that God said when he said he would perfect me when I do the right things. It's coming true in my life. And I can't tell you how exciting that is. But you've got to step out on faith and do. Read and do. And so these rules are largely in place to ensure that we treat one another with love. When you think about it, when you don't lie, when you don't envy, when you're not jealous, those things will keep you in the track of love in your life. And so these are very deeply wise, you know, rules and guidelines that God gives us to live by. And you know, when we treat each other well, we're treating God well. Think about that. Do I treat you like I want to treat God? That's the standard that the Lord is setting up for us here. And these things, they really do ensure our well-being in life. I'm telling you, your life will be richly blessed and joyful and successful when you stay close to the Lord, because that's what the Word says. We can't deny this. In John 6:35 it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I mean, let that promise sink in. It's so, so wonderful. So there's a lot of things that God says not to do. Don't lie. Don't hold on to anger. Sometimes naturally we'll get angry, and that's okay. That's a human emotion that God gave you. But he also said, don't hold on to it. Once he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You might have that initial emotional response to something, and it might be a righteous anger because you see something that's wrong. But then what happens next? Forgiveness and mercy and grace come in, right? Don't murder, don't have pride, don't commit adultery, don't lust, don't steal. Watch how you talk. Because it says in the Word, filthy communication should not come out of your mouth. I don't think that's just using the Lord's name in vain. The way I read the Word, we shouldn't be swearing. We shouldn't be talking in certain ways that once again jeopardize our identity as Christians. And we certainly shouldn't use the name of the Lord in vain as well. Do not hate. Don't cause discord. If you're provoking conflict around you and causing others to be at odds with one another or with you, then you're stirring up trouble. And the Lord wants us to stir up peace. He wants us to stir up salvation by the Spirit of God in your hearts. That's what he wants for us. So I think I'm about out of time. I would love to keep going. There's depth to each one of these words, the do's and the don'ts that I talked about, but let me just give you a quick conclusion, and then we'll open it up for about 10 minutes, right, of questions. I've got a few points. One, we can't keep his commandments if we don't know them. So we have to read the Word. We have to be aware of what is good godly conduct and what isn't. And that's a process. I'm not trying to be hard on anyone and say you should know all this by now. It's a lifelong process to learn, okay? So don't let me set up some unrealistic expectation in your mind that, okay, well, I'm gonna get to work and tomorrow I should have it together and I'll be perfect. It's a lifelong process, right? And I fail and I fall short every day, and at the end of the day I say, okay, I see a little bit of room for improvement. And I study this in my profession as well. The concept of continuous improvement, you get maybe one step, 1% better every day. And over a lifetime, that perfection God promises starts to come true. Good conduct, number two, is an evidence of Christ in you and how he's changed you. So think about that. Is the evidence of Christ in you? Look at your conduct. Three, good conduct leads to righteousness and, it, by the way, leads to salvation, our eternal reward. Repentance, faith, good works, these are part of that good conduct. Four, the rewards of sacrificing the flesh for the spirit. Because not only spiritually, but naturally, there's such wisdom in the Word of God. And when you follow it, you find that your life starts to come together in an amazing way. And so become a benefactor today, I hope. I hope you do. By doing the things God says to do, because your life will improve. Immediately it will improve. And it won't just be today. It'll continue to improve. The longer you do this, and the more you do it, the more God will bless you. And, you know, I would just leave you with this. As we read through some of these, and some of them are fruits of the Spirit, right? Peace, joy, long-suffering, these things. And some of them are, you know, do good. You know, love, help, forgive. Look for people in your life that embody these things. Because if I have nothing but anxiety and nervousness in my life, maybe I need a friend who exhibits peace. Maybe I'll learn from them. And then if I get angry a lot, and that person who's really good at peace isn't so good at anger, then I need to find another friend who's really good at controlling their temper. Are the people that you're seeking out as friends and rubbing shoulders with in your life teaching you? And you can teach them too, by the way. We're all on the same playing field, the same level. We're all created equal in God's eyes. No question. So seek out people in your life that will bring you closer to godly conduct. Okay. I think that's about, maybe even a little over. Sorry. Any questions? We have at least 8 or so minutes. Okay. Sorry. Sister Darlene. Yeah.
And prune all these not so wonderful things about me.
Yeah.
Just like how?
Yeah.
Some people just, where do I even start? How? Yeah. I don't know how. I can't on my own.
Yeah.
What counsel would you give me? Just says, this sounds wonderful. I don't know if it's for me or if I can.
So Sister Darlene's question is, how do we prune ourselves? How do we change? How does this possible? Can I answer this or should I wait till Brother Joe?
I'm going to try to answer that, but please start.
Okay. So I don't have to answer it. This is really your portion. Let me just give you one thing to think about. God will do it. You'll play a little part, and you'll try, and you'll do the best you can, and then God will come in, and he'll do the rest. And in number 80 of the Songs of Zion, it says, there's a storehouse of the Lord. If you want some love and some peace, if you need a little bit more purity in your heart, go to the storehouse of the Lord. Go to him in faith and pray for those things, and he will change you, because I'll tell you, it's not your strength and your character and your willpower, but the mighty power of God that can change your heart. That's how it's possible. And I'm sure Brother Joe will give you more to chew on there, but other questions? I could keep talking. Okay. Oh, yes, please.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do all this?
Yeah.
For this life, we all know the life thereafter. If we do this, you'll inherit the kingdom. How would this impact my day-to-day life?
Yeah. Well, and I mentioned briefly that it's going to bless your life naturally and spiritually. And so What that means is that both in this life and in the life to come, right, the commandments of God and good godly conduct will make your life better. As it turns out, when you are diligent and faithful and godly, you feel better. You have more joy. Imagine this. Imagine living your life without guilt. Because when Enos went to the Lord and he cried unto him mightily, it says that his guilt was swept away. Imagine having hope in your heart to bring you through the trials of this life. Imagine when you have a bad day, you can cry out unto the name of God and say, "Help me," and he does. Because he sees your efforts and your sincerity. I'm not saying he won't answer your prayers if you're just totally in left field in life, but I'll tell you, for me, he's a lot more at hand, a lot closer. I feel his answers to my prayers much more quickly when I'm doing these things. So, and again, not doing them, and instead doing the things of sin, will lead you to destruction, both in this life and in the next to come. I'm telling you, you have dread in your heart about the day you face your Lord, and that affects you now and later, but you also have all the problems of life that come about when you're not a person of good character and godly character. It'll bring so many opportunities in your life. And just one quick example, and I think I'm probably about there at time. Your family. Because when you have these traits, these personality characteristics, and you're working to grow them, love is the result. Remember what I said at the beginning? That all these do's and don'ts are really just about love and how to love better? Well, guess what? Your life will be so much better when you send out that love by having these good, you know, conducts in your life. It comes back to you and your family and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbor. I mean, people are going to start to want to be around you. And it can help. It can fix. It can repair relationships. And you don't necessarily have control over everyone in your life. You can't force them to love you back, but it's a lot more likely that you're going to have families that are intact and relationships that are healthy, strong, and thriving when you are a good person. Right? So I could go on and on. Believe me, there's no shortage of reasons to do this, both today and in the future, both this life and in the next. Okay, thank you. May God bless you.
This topic, it just touches my heart and my soul because it is so incredibly important. Again, last week we talked about Jesus Christ. And again, that is the centerpiece of everything, or it should be the centerpiece of everything in your life. Without Jesus, you are, let me quick simply, you're lost. You're lost. If Jesus is not the centerpiece of your life, you're lost. And what this week is about is, that sounds great in theory, that's a great theoretical concept, and it's true, but in real terms, is your life different because of Jesus Christ? Not just, oh, he's great and he's perfect, I want to be like him. Are you trying to be like him? Are you actually trying to be like him? You know, we talk about what does a Christian look like? What does a saint look like? I sure hope it looks like us. I want you to understand that. If we need to be able to say, I am a Christian, based on our lives, not just the concept. I am a saint. Now, I know some people think, oh, Satan is some special person because in some churches they're treated differently. Not in our church. We all need to be saints. All of us. I need to be looking at a room of saints. Not because we're perfect, but because we're trying to be like Jesus Christ. We're trying to be perfect. So, is it possible? Yes. Yes. And let me tell you, every single time you do something good, you're being Christ-like. You hand a dollar to a person in need, you're being Christ-like. Somebody needs someone to talk to who's hurting, and you talk to them, and you're kind to them, you're being Christ-like. You are being a saint or a Christian every time in your life you're acting that way. And the goal is not to make it occasional, but to make it something you do all day long. The longer you're making it, you're Christian, you're acting like a Christian, the closer you're getting to be like Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something personal. And again, not to lift myself up, because I know others have had similar experiences. But one time, a minister came up to me, and he said to me, "You are the most Christ-like person I've ever known." I burst into tears. It was the finest, the best compliment I ever received and I ever could receive. And my goal in life is that all of you would feel that way about me. Not that I'm the best Christian you've ever met, the most Christ-like, but that I'm Christ-like. That should be my goal in life. And it should be your goal in life. That people view you as Christ-like. That you are like Jesus Christ. That they can tell that you are trying to the best of your ability to do the things Brother Jeremy spoke about. That you're trying to do those good things, those pure things, those things of, that are in the gospel, as opposed to being like everybody else. So how are you going to get there? Back to Darlene's question. How do we do that? And Brother Jeremy is 100% right. We're not going to be able to do it alone. Brother Joe, if anything you've ever seen good in me, if you've ever thought I've been Christ-like, it's not because Brother Joe inherently is good. It's because I'm letting God work through me. God is the key. The Holy Spirit is the key. My relationship with God is the key. I mentioned here in the opening paragraph on page 2, you need a consistent prayer life. Your relationship, you're not going to be able to be a saint or a Christian if you don't have a relationship with God, a good one with God. The closer you are to God, the more saintly you become. All right? So you need a consistent prayer life. So, you know, you've asked me, do you pray? And someone says, yes. Okay? Oh, yes, I pray. Well, how much do you pray? How important is it? How intently do you pray? In other words, if I asked you, do you drink? And I don't mean alcohol. I mean like water and other liquids. Okay? Do you drink? And you say, yes, I drink. I drink liquids. Okay? I drink liquids. And I say, okay, how often? And the person says, well, I have one glass of water a day. I'm like, okay. Yes, you drink, but one, that's not very healthy. That's not going to be good long term. How did the person said, once a month I drink? I can say once a week. You're on your way down, and once a month, you're not going to last long at all. Maybe 1 month. The same thing's true of prayer. You could be spiritually dehydrated, okay? If you say, I pray, yeah, I pray, and you mean by that sometimes, not good enough. Like drinking water, you should be doing it every day and several points every day, all right? It's not once a week, once a month when I'm in trouble. It should be a daily part of your life, all right? The more you pray, the closer you get to God, you're in communication. And he's going to guide you and lead you and tell you how to act like a saint, how to be a Christian. All right? Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. For those who are not baptized, if you want to do this, you want God to be first in your life, you need to get baptized. And when you get baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ, we bestow the Holy Ghost on you. God puts a part of himself inside you to help you to know right from wrong, how to be a saint, how to be a Christian. He's talking to you. But guess what? Just like prayer, you can either listen or not listen. Do it or not do it. You can ignore the Holy Ghost. You can be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and ignore the Holy Ghost and do whatever you want. But what I'm telling you, if you want to be a saint, you listen to that Holy Spirit. It wants to lead you to good. It wants you to tell the truth and not lie. It wants you to say wonderful, sweet things, kind things, loving things. The second you start saying mean things, evil things, the minute you start causing discourse, oh my gosh, if you're talking about negative things, criticizing people, criticizing the church, shame on you. Every time you criticize the church, you're not following the Holy Spirit. Every time you criticize a brother or sister and you're mean about it, you are not following the Holy Spirit. When you're trying to show them love, when you're trying to love them, that's the Holy Ghost at work in you. That's the Holy Ghost at work in you. All right? Open yourself to that Spirit. You know, Brother Jeremy talked about, of course, reading the Word of God, learning the Word of God. So he covered that well, doing that. But I'll tell you the other thing I mentioned here. If you want to be a saint, again, talk to God. Talk to him all the time. Ask him what to do. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do. Come to church. Come to church. God didn't set up because it was just be a nice thing to have, a church. He set up because he knew men and women will fail without the church. I have never met a man or woman who long term can stay close to God unless you're Elijah or something, Elijah, okay? I don't know anyone in the modern world, in our church, who ever's done well away from the church. I don't know that man or woman. God set it up because we need each other. We need to see examples of a saint and a Christian. Sometimes we get lost, we get confused, we don't know where we're going, and we need to model good behavior. We need to be good Christians for each other. The church, in part, is for you, and in part, it's for you to come and help other people. If you're doing well, if you're doing poorly, you need to get to church. If you're doing well, you need to get to church. For different reasons. You need to help other people, showing them what a saint should act like. And let me tell you, I was thrilled when someone saw Christ-like behavior in me. Should people be able to see that you're Christ-like? Oh, yes. If they can't tell that you are a Christian, I'll be blunt with you, you're doing something wrong, or doing a lot of things wrong. Your life, as Brother Jeremy said, needs to reflect Christ in everything. You know, there was this saying a few years ago, even like bracelet, what would Jesus do? I'm telling you, that might seem simplistic and childlike. It couldn't be more true. In everything you do in life, every behavior, if you could do this to yourself, I'm telling you, you'd change your behavior. Would I be okay if I really literally saw Jesus Christ standing next to me? Would I do this? Would I say this if Jesus Christ was in the room? If I visually saw Jesus Christ, would I make that comment? Would I, first of all, back to Brother Jimmy mentioned how you talk. If you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and you use foul language, you need to change. You have no excuse. The Word of God says, let me read, for example, Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, the 29th verse. It says, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Not only are you not supposed to use foul or negative language, your language should actually be positive, uplifting people. It says that it may minister grace unto the hearers and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, and allow the Holy Spirit of God into your life, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you swear, I'll say this really clearly. Some people would say, some people would argue, you're actually committing sin. Okay? It's a sin to swear. You certainly use God's name in vain. But let me tell you, even if you want to say, it's not actually a sin, if you want people to see you as a Christian, and you use foul language, you tell dirty jokes, you say inappropriate things, I'm telling you, it's like screaming out, I am not a Christian. The world will judge you not as a Christian. I'm sorry. Well, that's just the way it is. People don't view that as Christian behavior. So if at work, let me make this also very clear. This behavior we're talking about, being a saint, is it just for this building? Everywhere. In your home, you shouldn't swear, okay? At a restaurant, you shouldn't swear. And church, of course, you shouldn't swear. Your language should be uplifting and godly and goodly, okay? What are you watching? What are you watching on TV? What are you watching now in today's world? On the computer. What are you doing on your phones? What are you doing on your phones? If you're going to inappropriate websites, if you're doing things on a phone, if you're texting and saying things that are Jesus Christ would disapprove of, you need to change. What's on your Facebook pages? What message are you telling the world? Because whether you know whether recognize or not, you represent our church. Think about this. Before you set out your next post on Facebook or on text message, would the apostle of our church send out that message? Would an apostle of our church put that picture up? And more probably, would Jesus Christ think this is good? We need to be different than the world. If we're like everybody else, in terms, and again, let me just mention, you know, again, I'm getting really dramatic here, or you know, going to an area we don't really go into. Your sexual behavior. If you are having premarital sex, it's a sin. It's that simple. Of all types, all sorts. I mean, just put it out there, okay? I know young people, they're getting more and more confused about this. Unless you're married to somebody, that is the only time that's allowed by God, okay? That's the only time that's allowed by God. If, again, you're participating in anything like that, any sexual banter, discussion, all that is wrong. It's all wrong, okay? Are you keeping the Sabbath holy? Are you different than other people? Are you different than other people? You know, one of the great things the devil does is try to make everything evil look okay. That's one of his best tricks. You're okay, I'm okay. The question shouldn't be whether you think I'm okay or you think you're okay. Does God think it's okay? Does Jesus Christ think it's okay? Brothers and sisters, do people look at you at work or in your neighborhood and say, that's a godly man or woman? If they don't sense that because you're just the regular person, you're not doing enough. You need to change things that you're doing. All right? We serve, last week was all about Jesus, how great he is, what he did for us. We serve the greatest being that ever existed. Shouldn't we be the best people on this planet? If we're following him and his example, and he was the greatest, shouldn't we be the best examples of how to behave, how to be moral in this world? So brothers and sisters, you know, I could go on and on and on here, I'll make sure you get some time for questions here. What I'm telling you is how you talk, how you act, what you say, what you do, your hobbies, what you watch, the movies that you watch, the TV shows that you watch. I'm sorry, tell you a real quick personal story. I know the world thinks everything's okay. Watching sexual acts and swearing and all sorts of things, violence, people getting murdered in movies. Oh, everyone does that. We shouldn't. We're better than that if we are Christ-like. You think Jesus Christ would watch movies of torture and murder and all those things? Of course not. Quick personal story. Chelsea's a little girl. There's a movie that came out that was at that moment like really popular, like it's going to win the Oscar and had famous actors like Dustin Hoffman's in this movie. So we rent this movie, okay? And Chelsea is, I don't know what, 5 years old, something like that. And at an old house, we had this room where we watched TV and movies, and next to it was the playroom. So Darlene and I watched this movie. Chelsea, I think that the door was closed. Chelsea's playing with dolls or whatever, next door, next room. Movie's over. And Chelsea comes in and says, like, what the blank, 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 blank. Like, I have like heart attacks. What? When did you learn that word? And she burst out crying. Like, we're mad. She goes, I heard the man say it in the movie. I thought it was okay you were watching it. I was crushed. If you're watching movies filled with swear words, expect your children to swear. If you're watching things that are inappropriate, expect your children to think it's okay. And my goodness, if you're saying those words, you'd be silly to think that they won't say the same or worse, or think it's okay. So brothers and sisters, let me read this last verse to you, and then I'll open up for questions for 5 minutes or so. The last verse I have written down here. Again, the world's a dark place. And the Lord says we need to be a light. We need to be different. In a dark world, we need to be bright, goodly. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When people see you, they should see a bright light of goodness, that you love God and He's in you. If you're just dark like everybody else or other people, you're not being a saint. Questions? Yes. And the last verse, it's Matthew 5, 6. It's in the lesson. And I will say, Brother Jeremy brought up a lot of great verses. I don't think they're in here. If you want those verses, we need to add those. He brought up some great verses, but we want them in our reference section. So ask him. He can provide you with those verses. Questions? Yes, sister. Sister Debbie.
So, there's some strengths of mine, and I don't have Facebook.
There's some what?
Strengths, but I also have a ton of opportunities listening. And I don't, people see me at work as different. I'm a very vocal person. But also, I have a vocabulary that would be considered sick. But I don't say that stuff in a way of anger. It's just the way, like, I will go, what the hell? Like, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but listening to you, that's saying, shame on you, Debbie, for saying that, and that's inappropriate, or that's so wrong. And so I'm just trying to clarity or examples, nothing more, again, because I'm looking at the opportunity.
I'm not here to judge anybody, and I'm not perfect. I'm not, but I'll tell you, whether we think it's okay, the real question is what they're actually thinking. If you ask them in a secret meeting, do we think that language is offensive? We can't believe a Christian says it, which is possible. They may never say it to you, but they're thinking it. We're so much safer not to use that vocabulary. It's just that simple. I guarantee it doesn't make them think you're more of a Christian, and there's a chance it makes them think you're less of a Christian. And I feel like, let me say, in the old church, the old time members, they didn't talk like that. I see a difference with modern members, and I see words slip in that the old timers would never have said. And I think they were much better in that way than we are. Okay? No way using foul language makes you look like a saint. And to some people, it would make you look like a sinner. We don't want to be in that camp. Okay? And like I said, I've made mistakes in my life, but I tell you, I admire people who don't swear. Because it shows that they're trying to do everything God wants them to do. That's how I feel. Other questions? Brother Ken.
Jesus said that we were the light of the world. That's a big responsibility.
It sure is.
That's a world of darkness out there. And we're supposed to be the light.
If we're not, if we're hiding it under a bushel, or we're not shining in a good way, you know, the world often, people who are not Christians often look for hypocrisy in Christians. They want to have excuses why not to believe God. So if we act like, not like a Christian, it's like, see, they say they're a Christian, but look what they're doing. Look at the joke they just told. Look at whatever. Look at the movies they watch. Look at what they do. Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Some of these things might be a little surprising to hear. And maybe it seems a little harsh or high bar. What shift needs to occur? Maybe it's from natural and spiritual.
Well, again, I think it is. I just think, you know, the more you're talking to God, I find it hard to believe that people who are praying to God are swearing when they talk to God, or cursing other people. The more you talk to God, the more you're in the Word of God, it just feels good and pure. The world has crept in to make bad behavior look good. All I can tell you is when I am doing the things, again, I'm not perfect, okay? I'm far from perfect. I wish I could say I'm always Christ-like. But I tell you, when I am, Brother Jeremy, like where you started, I feel better. I feel good. I don't feel guilty. I feel positive about everything. I can face the world. When I'm creeping in those ways, I notice I get more negative. I get more judgmental. I get more just agitated. I lose my patience. When I'm in the Spirit of God, wow, life is better. And I know I am pleasing my God. And again, I want to spend eternity. I'll say this. In heaven, the things I talked about, we're not going to find that stuff in it, the bad stuff in heaven, right? There's not going to be dirty movies and bad language. It's going to be beautiful, and that's what I look forward to. Brother Mike. Wait, no, questions, only questions. Running out of time. We're down to 3 minutes, and no comments.
Personal comment.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not all the same, although we're far from perfect. All right? Some of us are able to control our tongues better than others. So you hear somebody or see somebody doing the things you just talked about. What's my personal conduct responsibility in response to that, if anything?
Good. That's a very good question. If someone swears in front of you or whatever, or tells a dirty joke, do you have to say that's evil or wrong? I don't have an absolute answer. I think it depends on the situation. I've been in situations where I have said I don't really appreciate that. In fact, I'll tell you a really quick. A really quick story is that this last vacation we were in Florida. A man came up to me. I was fishing, and this guy came up to me, and he started like telling me this terrible story about sexual story, and then he said, again, he kept talking. He's like, and of course, nobody really celebrates Christmas anymore, and it's a total stranger. I don't normally do this, but I just felt like I have to stop this because he's going to keep going. I said, I celebrate Christmas. I'm a Christian. He stopped talking. And the whole conversation shifted, okay? So I can't say I always do that. Sometimes I don't want to make war. I don't want to look judgmental, but I don't want to participate. If I hear that going on at work or something I used to, I'll walk away. It's my most likely thing. I'll walk away. Who are saying bad things? Okay, and remember, if we hear members who are being judgmental and mean and saying nasty things, I think it is our responsibility to another member to say, brother or sister or whomever, you know, let's pray for that person. We don't need to talk badly about them. I know, you're right. The, what you're bringing up is a bad situation. Let's love them and let's pray for them. We don't need to talk about it. That's what I would say. Yes, Brother Jerry, and then we're gonna close in prayer.
Brother Joe, I realize I have some issues in my life. I'm trying to make changes.
Yes.
From time to time I slip, but I make mistakes.
Yes.
Is God still up?
He sure does. And you don't lose that saint name, that title, because of one sin. It's trying to serve God, trying to reflect these values. I am not perfect. It doesn't mean I'm not a saint. As long as I try to change and improve my ways, God absolutely loves me. Absolutely loves me. All right? With that, let's rise and we'll close in prayer. Who do I want to pray? Brother Paulie, would you close us in prayer?